Thanks, Carolyn. 1 Corinthians 14, kind of a fresh rendering of listening to that passage in the message. This morning we're talking about the last two of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as we've gotten through the previous seven. I'm going to speak on the last two, the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues this morning. I thought a couple times this week, I'm doing what? Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm excited to, because unfortunately I think a lot of this space in talking about these gifts gets swallowed up by people that are kind of weird. And they capitalize on weird. And I think sensible, normal, healthy conversation about what's obviously biblical gets either left to people who critique it because they don't understand it, or people that are capitalizing on just being kind of odd, and they like odd things. I hope I don't fall into either one of those categories. And so our conversation hopefully is going to be very normal about something that's very supernatural. And if you don't like it, come back next week. It'll be about something else. I don't think at the end of this message any of us need to argue about anything. I don't think you're going to find me saying, I know everything about this and you need to agree and do exactly what I say. That's not really in my spirit. And yet how many pastors have I known that there's so much controversy about it that they aren't willing to talk about it? And so even though they may practice these gifts privately because they're pastors and they need to because they're professional Christians, they don't open up, they don't pull back the curtains and go, here's what we know and here's what we don't understand and here's where we're contending still for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's just what I want to do this morning. Pray with me, would you? Heavenly Father, help my mind, help my words to communicate your truth with your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a year ago last summer, I'm driving across the northernmost desert region called Pastor Wilson. Pastor Wilson and I are driving along. We pick up another pastor as we're dropping off arrival food to churches that are really hungry. Can I say that? And we're going through these dry riverbeds, and we're dropping off food, and I meet one of these pastors, and his name's James. I like that name. My legal name. And James has an interesting story. Wilson goes, oh, James, we should tell Jim the story about us. And here it is in a nutshell. James was traveling with Wilson as a potential church planter. He wanted to pastor. He wanted to be like Jesus. He was following Wilson's example, who had planted dozens of churches over what was recently known as an unreached people group. Amen, it's no longer an unreached people group. But Wilson was working with James to develop him into a pastor to reach his own Turkana people. The challenge was with James was illiterate. He'd grown up just like his neighbors herding goats and not needing to read or write to do so. So James starts realizing that he has some limitations in his ability to learn. And Wilson says, I need to pray for James to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to go into the wild and he needs to brave the day, right? He's got to win the day and reach his people. He needs the power of the Holy Spirit. So Wilson prays for James, and James is right there. I mean, you know, kind of the lie detector is right there. And Wilson says, so I pray for him, and God gives him the gift of language. I'm like, oh, he got to like speak in tongues. He's like, yeah, but let me finish the story. Who thinks God has no problem blowing your boxes apart? So if you think you have this gift all figured out, I just want to say, maybe not. So Wilson's praying for James, and James starts speaking in a language that he'd never been taught, that he didn't know. You know, any guesses what that language was? Swahili. He starts fluently speaking in another in the national language of Kenya. Though he's been in this desert region of Turkana, now he's actually speaking Swahili back to Pastor Wilson. Okay, that's his native tongue from another region of Kenya. And now he's hearing his native tongue back to him for praying after praying for him. Interesting? Oh, wait. James is not only speaking it, in a moment he starts realizing it, realizing this. I can understand it. He not only got the gift of language, but he got the gift of interpreting that language simultaneously. What? I'm just trying to think of how this, just psychologically, linguistically, I mean, everything's just going just berserk in my brain going, how does that happen? But wait. Not only, later that day, he's not only able to engage speaking in Swahili, he can understand Swahili, and somebody, well, I think it was Wilson, but somebody handed him a Bible in Swahili. He opened it up and finished the sentence. He could read it. Well, I know this guy. He's just a guy that wanted to reach his people in the middle of what you might believe to be nowhere. But yet the kingdom was somewhere. Mind blown. Like everything I thought I could explain, I couldn't explain it anymore. I couldn't explain James. And yet it was thrilling. God gave him a language to then be able to learn in, because all of the study materials would have been in Swahili. A lot of that's not. The New Testament's written in Turkana. And now Bud and Kimberly are actually taking the Turkana language to these churches where people can actually hear the New Testament through a little MP3 player in their own native tongue. Tongues and interpretation. I want us to tackle two questions. What was the original intent of why God had people speak in tongues in the first place in Acts chapter 2? We'll go there. And then I want us to ask the question, is there a present day benefit of the application to the follower of Jesus in the 21st century for these gifts? Or as many of you may have been taught, has that usage been done away with? So let's go. Ready? Praying in the Spirit appeared to have numerous and divine applications in the early church. There's just no way of getting around that, whether it be the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians, Romans, this whole idea, Ephesians, praying in the Spirit seemed to be a thing. Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended, he told his followers to go and wait until the Holy Spirit gave them power, right? So they were waiting for the personal power of the Holy Spirit to embolden them and to actually give them direction as a kingdom movement. Acts chapter 2, they've been praying for 10 days. They waited for 10 days. Who knows, sometimes it's hard to wait for 10 minutes. They waited for 10 days until the feast of what had fully come? Pentecost. Pentecost was the feast, was the most recent feast after Passover in which thousands of Jewish people from all over the known world at that time, from Africa to Asia Minor, Europe, everyone's converging on Jerusalem to remember the feast of weeks or Pentecost. So somewhere around the temple were thousands of people who spoke different languages had gathered, these original 120 began to speak in a way that made them deeply feel seen and loved. Okay, Jim, I think that's kind of reading into the text. No, it's not actually. Have you ever been in a foreign country where no one was speaking your language and then all of a sudden you heard your language? You heard English? You're like, I love you! I remember being in China and actually seeing a sign in English. After days of seeing nothing but Chinese characters and going, ah, I can read it. Coca-Cola, you know. Oh, I love that sign. There's something that makes you feel loved and valued when you hear your native tongue. If you've ever been somewhere, it doesn't matter whether you were in a foreign country or Disneyland and you saw a Seahawk jersey, you're like, what up, buddy, my brother? You felt close to somebody because something that resonated with your nativeness felt indigenous to you. That's what happened to the people there probably on the Temple Mount when they began to hear people speaking in tongues, but actually speaking in languages glorifying God that resonated with people. The original intent of the gift of tongues on Acts chapter 2 was to help people far from God feel close to Jesus. Let's not forget that. Because I think as you start moving into 1 Corinthians and through the book of Acts, the purpose of tongues seemed to change, but you can't change the original intention. You certainly can't reverse it. Because I've grown up in some church situations where it was the opposite. The church didn't care at all about people that were far from God when they started speaking in tongues. They didn't care how nutty it was, how absurd it was to people that were far from God. And I don't think that recognizes the original intent of why the Holy Spirit gave language to the church. And I think that's a problem. And we need to recognize that. So the initial purpose of the Holy Spirit gifting the church with a language or a tongue was to help the church to reach someone. The second reason was to reveal something. If the first reason, the gift of spiritual language, praying in the Spirit, speaking in a tongue, was to help reach someone with the love of God and bring them to know Jesus, then the second reason we see spiritual language being given in the New Testament was to reveal something, to reach someone and to reveal something. To reveal something, to receive something. Track this with me. Because this might be the first time you've ever thought this thought, maybe not, but let me walk through it simply. Is it possible that there is a language that heaven speaks that receives thoughts simultaneously as it reveals thoughts? What do I mean? Words. What are words? Language. What is language? Language expresses thoughts. I use words to express thoughts. You use words to express thoughts. If I speak something to you, I'm only communicating one way. Wouldn't it be great if you could actually communicate one way, but simultaneously know what the listener is feeling and thinking and affirming or disagreeing with? This would be a great parenting language, wouldn't it? If you could actually know that your kids were actually receiving and responding and fully embracing what you were saying. How many times as parents, you said something to them, it went in one ear, and as my mom would say, out the other. What, I'll give you another, before we tie this thought up. What if spiritual language, the Spirit-given tongue, what Paul called the tongue of angels in 1 Corinthians 13, what if it was a two-way communication device? What if heaven's language had the capacity to receive something from heaven as it was actually communicating something to heaven? Because I think it does. What language was spoken in the Garden of Eden? Anybody? What's that? Hebrew? I mean, that's a nice guess. No? No, Hebrew would not have been a dialect until after the Tower of Babel, when God's original language was shattered into multiple languages. So Hebrew came as a language to the Jewish people from the shattering of language in Genesis 11. Let's just say in the Garden of Eden, since we don't really know, that the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve and God spoke God's language. Let's just say he spoke heaven's language. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel comes along, God's language is decimated. The Hebrew word is like shattered, like take a window pane and just throw a rock at it. Just goes every direction. Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, language is shattered. Is it possible that Pentecost, fast forward to Acts chapter 2, the birthday of the church was the reconvergence, the reemergence, the reconvening of the coalescing of the tongue of men and of angels, 1 Corinthians 13, back into new creation, that somehow God is trying to reintroduce heaven's language back into the language of men and take what had to be torn apart in Genesis 11 and start bringing it back together again. Incompleteness? No. In part, in anticipation? Guys, what is going to be the language of heaven? Yeah, that's what I thought I was going to see. Nobody's home, right? We haven't thought about it. Most of you want to think that the easy answer to that question is God is going to speak English in heaven. There's like an emoji for that answer. No, he's not going to speak English in heaven. And then everybody else is going to have translators or little things that, no. What if heaven's language is being reconvened? What if that conversation between heaven and earth, that heavenly language that Adam and Eve and God could speak, what if in Acts chapter 2, where people started hearing their languages and there was an understanding and a lack of understanding? What if the spiritual gifts are actually a foretaste of heaven divine? What if Paul was touching on something when he said there's going to come a day when we see Jesus, that the gifts aren't going to be necessary because we're going to know in full what we now only know in part? That's the end of 1 Corinthians 13. Amen? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, and that's how he starts 1 Corinthians 14, to pursue love. So what if something is happening in part in language that will be completed in that age to come? Romans 8:26, verse 27, 8:26 and 27 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay, you don't have to go quiet on me. That's a good verse. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Amen. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Come on, balcony, really? We don't know what we're praying for. Half the time, we don't know how to, God, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm in a mess. We don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Watch for this two-way communication. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Ayo. This is fantastic. This is phenomenal. Paul is suggesting that as we would seek to allow the Holy Spirit to help us pray, that the Father hears such prayers in the Spirit and knows not only what the Holy Spirit is praying for us, but is simultaneously doing a work in us while he is praying with us and through us. Could you imagine in heaven being able to speak in a language that you fully understood how what you were saying was being received and began to receive what was going on in the other person until you were immediately on the same page? Who thinks that's a part of God's heart for communication? Who thinks we're not there yet? But I can't wait for that to be God's heart in communication. So what do you mean praying? The Holy Spirit's praying with us, right? Verse 26, the Holy Spirit is praying for us, right? Praying in the Spirit is the Holy Spirit helping us pray for us. Well, what do you mean by praying through us? Well, when you pray in the Spirit, you're partnering in prayer with the Holy Spirit, and you're actively participating, even if it isn't immediately fruitful to your mind. Who knows a little bit of what I'm talking about? Yeah, I don't really know what's going on here, but I'm participating in something that I know Scripture says is building my spirit up. You aren't speaking to men, but to God, Paul says. You aren't speaking to your intellect initially. I think it eventually helps your intellect, but not initially. The Holy Spirit's helping you by praying about what the Holy Spirit wants to pray for. That's good. For you and for those in your sphere of influence. You know, right now, I got a daughter in Kenya. I got a daughter in Indonesia. I don't know how to pray for them. What a help to be able to even say, Lord, can I pray in the Spirit for my kids? Because you're the only one who knows. I want to pray, but heaven knows how. So Holy Spirit, help. God knows what the Holy Spirit is talking about when he's praying through you and for you. So the Holy Spirit's pleading on our behalf in agreement with God's perspective. Can I say that again? The Holy Spirit is pleading on our behalf, according to Romans 8, in agreement with God's perspective. That's extraordinary. That is absolutely extraordinary. What's the word in Spanish? Extraordinario. Best I got. How about Italian? Fantastico. You got, the hands have to be there, right? It doesn't work. Kiswahili, ajabu. It's extraordinary. It's fantastic. Let's not forget this gift of language. I don't have time to break all this down, but let me put it this way. Praying in the Spirit allows you to pray in harmony with the melody of heaven. Oh, Jesus, thank you for filling us with your Spirit, who will in turn help us to know the will of the Father. Somebody say, ajabu. It's extraordinary. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we get caught up in this historical conversation between Paul and this church in Greece who's trying to figure out how spiritual language is now impacting their services, and you get a piece of them just kind of talking about family business. And I think there's things that we can be reminded of that he was reminding of them. Number one, 1 Corinthians 14, spiritual language for private use is primarily unfruitful for your mind, yet it builds up your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So evidently what happened to James in Turkana doesn't happen to everybody all the time. So let's try not to overgeneralize things but here's something that he wanted them to understand. Number two, spiritual language for public use is never to drive people far from God away, but to bring them closer. I think he's reconnecting them back to Acts chapter 2. Listen to him in verse 23 of chapter 14. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? That was never the heart of the Holy Spirit in the giving of spiritual language, nor should it be in our hearts to do so as well. Don't ever use praying in the Spirit to weird people out. Please, not with my permission. It's not helpful, it's not loving, and it's not spiritual. It's turning a tool into a toy, and it's not cool. And Paul is trying to tell us that. Number three, spiritual language is less helpful in public than pretty much all the other gifts. You hear that in his heart, what he's talking. He says, desire the gifts that are a declaration or a demonstration of God's heart that people can understand and feel valued. It's like, Seahawk jersey, English, right? You know, that's actually gonna make them feel a longing for a relationship with God, not somehow marginalizing them. 1 Corinthians 14:1-4, Carolyn read it, let me read it in the ESV. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He puts the native tongue gifts ahead. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, good for that, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Listen to how he's pastoring them. So if this is a window into how the early church was wrestling with the gift of spirit-inspired language, can I give you a couple of questions to wrestle with ourselves this morning? The first question is for those of you who have been given a spiritual language to pray in. And the second question would be for those who have not. For those who have, to those of you who do, here's my honest question. Why don't you? I did kind of my own little survey of a number of people that I know that have been given the opportunity to pray in the Spirit. And the large response that I got was probably less than 5 minutes a week. if something is actually aligning your prayer life with the melody of heaven and allowing you to pray in harmony with God's will, and you believe that's actually a gift from heaven to you, why don't you use it? Well, you know, I always do when they sing my favorite song in church. Wrong answer. I'm talking about when you're commuting. It doesn't take much for your brain to disengage and allow you to let the Holy Spirit pray through you. He says, yeah, but I'm on the bus. Okay, that's a fair response. Maybe not a great answer on the bus. What about that walk with the dog? What about that time of just kind of getting ready in the morning, or just rather than singing the Bee Gees in the shower, maybe it's just time to check in, allow the Holy Spirit to begin praying through you. What about, can I just say to those who can, why don't you? And rekindle that gift inside of you. If it's that valuable, I believe it's worth using. Amen? And using it for your private building up of your faith. And letting the Holy Spirit even bring some interpretation to that. So as you publicly live out your faith, God is already prophetically speaking in and through your life. And watch if God doesn't speak to you and through you more often. Let's just say, for those who can, why not? Let's rekindle that gift among us. Secondly, to those who don't, would you be willing? And don't let this be a mean question. Well, of course I would. I just never been. Okay. Right after this service, Glenn is going to be pastoring a time up in the chapel. And if there's a handful of you that want to just go up and say, I want breakthrough in this gift. I would like to pray in the Spirit. And I think it would really help me. We want to, Glenn's here. He's normal. He's a scientist. He'll help you work it out. But we can be normal about the supernatural and just let somebody pray with you, because it doesn't have to be, you know, grandma doesn't have to be shaking you by both ears to get, you know, the Holy Ghost to come out of you. Sorry, that's how I got baptized into this stuff. Not fun. But it doesn't have to be that way. I've led countless people into just a very naturally supernatural moment of going, I think the Holy Spirit has this well of living water that can actually help me pray when I don't know how to pray. Amen? So to those of you who can't, would you be open to it? Well, Jim, I've heard it's from the devil. I've never really heard anybody that's been given the gift of spiritual language actually say it's from the devil. I've only heard people that haven't been given that gift, and it seems like it's more out of their fear and insecurity to justify that they're not speaking in a spiritual language than actually out of love and maturity that they haven't yet. That's not a judgment statement. That's just kind of a fact. Those that I feel like have come into a real place of being able to speak in a prayer language, none of them walked away going, that was the devil. Okay, so, and that's certainly not the way we feel. Let Glenn just pray with you, and if God has something for you, great. And if not, you're not a second-class Christian around here, and hey, would you please sit in the balcony until you have that gift? No offense. But down here, it's for those of us who really got it going on. No, just let's walk in the power of the Spirit, and if God has that for you, would you stay open? And I think it could be a real blessing, and I know it is a blessing as we lean into it. Let's just trust Paul in the New Testament. He said, I speak in tongues more than King James, ye all. Southern, y'all. Actually, in the Greek, all y'all. Paul was actually saying, I speak in tongues on a regular basis, most likely more than all of you combined. This is a guy who was really committed to praying in the Spirit. Why? He was writing the New Testament. Okay? The New Testament most likely came out of the heart of a guy who was praying in the Spirit in a very unceasing way. Let's trust Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Here's my sense, and I'll close with one more personal story that really changed my life. Here's my sense. If you want to draw from a deeper well than your thoughts, your feelings, your circumstances, or your perspective in prayer, then you've got to dig deeper in the Spirit for a deeper source than your experiences, than your circumstances. You have to quiet your mind if you want to hear God's thoughts. You have to quiet your feelings to search for God's heart beyond your understanding. You have to encounter God's Spirit, or you are simply left with your experiences and circumstances to draw from. In Psalm 42, verse 7, I love this scripture. Listen to the psalmist when he says, "Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." Who wants to draw from a deeper well, from a deeper place in prayer? In the meantime, as a church, can we just say we're going to major on the majors, and we'll minor on the minors? Privately, we'll draw near to God in the best way possible, praying in the Spirit, and publicly will draw others to God in the most effective ways possible to speak the heart of God in a language that people understand. One last story. Years ago, I was thrilled to have the opportunity to smuggle study Bibles to pastors in China. I'm always up for a good challenge. And there'd been a lot of a communist struggle and some democratic protesting going on. I thought, perfect. This is a great time to go to China, and let's smuggle some study Bibles into pastors, because I'd heard tens of thousands of Chinese were coming to Christ on a daily basis, and it wasn't because of missionaries, but they needed scripture. God was just moving, and I wanted to see it. But I was coming from a place at a time where I was really disillusioned by spiritual gifts, and I was kind of asking myself the question, yeah, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, some of my friends were so weirded out by the way people were being prophetic and charismatic, and I was just like, do we have to be weird to be Christians? And I just didn't really feel like doing weird. And yet I'd had an encounter with the Holy Spirit myself, and so I was struggling with it. So I went to China, and I got to Hong Kong, and I was realizing that they were giving us the study Bibles, and they were gift wrapping them so they wouldn't be opened at customs if not need be. And we'd gift wrap them, and so they'd like, oh, these are gifts for people that were visiting, and hopefully they wouldn't see their Bibles and confiscate them. You know, come what may, here we go. So I just started jettisoning my clothing in the hotel room. I remember just like chucking perfectly good clothes so I could cram in one more Bible. Because even though I wasn't sure I could trust the gifts of the Spirit, I knew I could trust Scripture, and I needed the two to really combine for me. And so I started making room in my bags for these Bibles, and I started seeing that there were a few people on our small team that were tucking in one or two Bibles, and I'm like, really? You're taking all those clothes, and you're taking two Bibles? And all my clothes are in the corner of the hotel room, and I must have gotten 20 study Bibles in my bag, and I'm just, not that, anyway. No judgment. I was just pumped to bring the Bible into China. Later in that trip, it was probably like a Tuesday night. It had been dark, and they offered us an opportunity to go visit one of the house churches that was, that the pastor was receiving one of these Bibles. So I got into this little small kind of a van, and we drove out into the Chinese night, into a rural village. And I remember getting out and walking down this brick road to this house church. I thought, cool, road's made out of brick. I just remember that for some reason. I ducked into this church, and it was crammed full of women. All the men were outside the church watching, waiting to watch through the windows on the outside. Because of fear of persecution, they had plausible deniability that they were actually a part of the church. They were just looking in on what their wives were up to. I stepped in, and it was probably three or four other people from our team, and there was an elderly man that was on the airplane that I flew over on sitting next to me, and he wouldn't be quiet because he just kept saying how as a young man, he just knew he was supposed to take the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost to China. and he had disobeyed the Lord his entire life, and he was making for it up now at the end of his career. He stood up in that church, and here were these precious, probably 70 or 80 ladies, all lined up on these little wood benches that now us, that were, I felt like a foot taller than everybody in the room. And he says, you need to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Starts going into this Pentecostal rant that I had grown up with and grown tired of. If it wasn't real, if it was theatrics, and nobody responded, people kind of looked at him confused. It needed interpretation. That tongue needed interpretation. And the interpreter that was given to us, I said, ma'am, would you interpret what I'm about to say? She says, please explain. And I looked at that little house church of Chinese Christians, and I said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It's a question out of the book of Acts. And they looked at the translator, the interpreter, as she said it, and they said, we haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I'm in the book of Acts right now. Oh no, what do I do? And I took a moment to walk this little fledgling house church of persecuted Christians in China through the reality of Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit on the church and the gifts that followed. And they were like, okay, all right, this is good. This is great. And then I just said, can I pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit and his personal power to help you guys as a church walk out the mission of the kingdom of God? If so, would you just kind of raise your hand and wave at me, kind of a thing? And in that moment, I just kind of bowed my head, closed my eyes, and went, what am I doing right now? Where am I? There was no electricity in the house. There were no lights. There were a few candles that were just being held in place by the melted wax of the candle itself. And I looked out over the shadowy heads, and every single person had stood up, bowed their head, and put their hands up just like this. What, everybody? Did I make it too easy? Did I make it too simple? Sometimes I think we need to make it easier and simpler. I can do easy and simple. And I said, okay, just please, just pray this to the interpreter. Please interpret this tongue. Receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to. Jesus, baptize your followers in the personal power of your Spirit so we can be your people. And it was silence. And then I heard a voice. Is it a question? No. Hands are up, heads bowed, somebody's praying. Over here, somebody's praying. Over here, somebody's praying. Out in the window, somebody's praying. And I'm like, oh no, they don't get it. They're supposed to be waiting for like a prophetic word or a tongue or, you know, just. And I asked the interpreter, could you listen to what they're saying? Because I fear they didn't get it. And I need to fix it. And she goes, okay, I'll listen to what they're praying. She walks over, where she's up and walked over to someone sitting on one of them little benches that had stood up and was praying, and she just stuck her ear in like this. She comes over to somebody else, hears them praying. Moves around the room, comes back about a minute later. And I said, what are they praying? She goes, I don't know, it's not Chinese. It's not Cantonese, it's not Mandarin, and it certainly wasn't English. And heaven just blanketed this room. I don't know how to tell you. I can't explain it. I'm just a simple guy. But the truth of Scripture fell into the Spirit of God, and I watched the book of Acts continue to act. No one will ever know about that church. No one will ever know about Pastor James in Turkana. But the Spirit of God is still working. And sometimes I think Americans are the last ones who think we need it. But for those who can, why don't you? And for those who can't, why won't you? I think the Spirit of God is still moving for those who would come so boldly as to say, Holy Spirit, lead me on. Again, right after service, Glenn's gonna be up in the chapel, which is just outside the other side of the courtyard. There'll be some music on. Just let somebody pray with you that just loves God, and he's normal. He's not gonna be weird. But let's let God do something supernatural as we say, Holy Spirit, lead us on. Can I pray for you? Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus, baptize us afresh. Bring what gifts you have for us. We want to follow you with the power that you would offer us and the person of your Spirit to lead us on.